Okay. All right. But you know, we talked about just being anxious for nothing, you know, being full of care about nothing but in everything, you know, just going to God and asking Him, letting your requests be made known to Him, and then that peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And thinking about those things, you know, our mind is our worst enemy, you know, thinking about those things that are true, and that's the hardest one, that are true, because we let so many things go in our mind that are not true, and we dwell on them, and so those things that are true, those things that are lovely, all those things. And in verse 9, you know, it really spoke to me that, you know, Paul says, those things that you've heard and you've learned, you know, those things do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, we've got to do them. You know, he told us what to do, so we need to do them. We need to be careful for nothing. When we start being full of care about something, we need to take it to the Lord, take it to the cross. Let Him know how we're feeling. He knows, but He wants to hear it from us anyway. We need to give it to Him, and then the peace will be there. When our mind starts going and thinking of things that are not lovely, that are not good, that are not true, we need to, you know, take our thoughts captive and take them to, again, take them to the Lord, and start thinking on those things that are good. And if we do those things, then His peace will be with us, even in the midst of very trying time, in the midst of, you know, of an earthquake, we can still have that calm and peace. So in Philippians 10, it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which strengtheneth me. And, you know, so he's just kind of, you know, saying how, you know, praise the Lord, you know, that you care for me, you're concerned about me. You know, you didn't have the chance to help me before, but you know, he just praises the Lord for them. Again, it kind of just shows that special bond that he had with the Philippian church. In verse 11, he says, you know, not that I speak in respect of want, you know, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. He's learned. He learns, and now he knows. In verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased, you know, how to bound. He knows how to be very poor. He knows how to be, you know, have very little, next to nothing. He knows how to have a lot and be full. He knows because he's learned it. Contentment doesn't really come natural to us. You know, maybe when we're young. I remember when Audrey, or not Audrey, when Laura was a baby. I had Tony and Jacob, and both of them were kind of cranky and wanted to be held all the time and just were not content babies. When I had Laura, she was content. I mean, she would just sit by herself for hours. I could hold her, I could not hold her, I could do whatever, and she was just content all the time. And the Lord really showed me through her, you know, that about my contentment, because I would think how blessed I am that she's so content, how happy it makes me feel, how, you know. And it just makes me want to get closer to her. It makes me want to do more with her. It makes me want to hold her more, you know, with her being content, more than a screaming child, you know. So So he really showed me in my relationship with him, you know, when I'm content, how that pleases him. So I was thinking about that, you know, as I was thinking, you know, does contentment come natural to us? I mean, is it just born in some of us? And then what is it that takes it away? What is it that we allow it to be stolen from us? You know, and I guess as a child, like, you know, you come to the Lord as a child. You know nothing. You have nothing. All that you need is in your mom. All that you need is in, you know, what things are being cared for you. And so, anyway, I was just kind of thinking about that. But Paul says that he has learned. And how do you learn? You learn by, but that word learned means to learn by use and practice. So he practiced having nothing, you know, not that he set out to do it, but it's just that's the natural thing that happens. And I'm sure that you guys have done that too. You probably had times where you and Scott had been dirt poor and not be able to afford anything. And then there's times where you abound, you know, and we all have those times. There's seasons for all of us. And through them, we do learn. We learn to be content. We learn to be satisfied with the things that we have, knowing that the Lord is going to supply. And that word know, you know, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. It means to get knowledge of, to understand, but to be skilled in. And again, to be skilled in something, it's you practice it, so you're getting it through experience. You know, and that's how we learn to be content. The place where this word content, I'm not very good at reading the Hebrew, but it's atarakus, and it's the only place in the Bible that this word is used. And it means sufficient for oneself, strong enough or possessing enough to need no aid or support. Independent of external circumstances, contented with one's lot, with one's means, though the slenderest. And that comes from the word archaeo, which means to be possessed with unfailing strength, to be strong. You know, and so I kind of, when you look at that with the next verse that we're going to look at, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, where do we get that unfailing strength? Of course, from the Lord. But I don't know. I mean, do you ever have trouble being content?
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know why we do, you know, because we really do have all, but we tend to let, I don't know, we always want more. We never seem to be satisfied with the moment, you know. We always are looking for something else, something better, something more. And I'm really praying that I can really learn to be content. And to truly be content, to not, you know, not want anything more than what the Lord wants for me. And maybe that's what it comes down to. You know, what does the Lord want for us? What does the Lord want for me? What does the Lord want for you? What does he want for other people? We need to be content with that. Be, you know, that should be sufficient for us. Whatever he wants, whatever it is, he's got his purpose, and he's got our best. He's got our best in mind. So you can pray for me in that area.
Me too.
Yeah.
I just said to Scott, I said, do you remember when we first got married, if we went on a little trip or something, it would just be a small one little hotel room, not like what we get now. You know, I mm-hmm. always get the big hotel rooms. And do you remember, we used to just lay in that hotel room and think, we could be here forever.
Yeah.
As long as we were together.
Yeah.
That's all we cared about. And now it's sometimes go in another room, I'll go in another room. But we used to just lay in one measly little cheap hotel and be like, we could be here forever. I could be with you in this room.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I know.
That's changed a little bit. Not a lot. I mean, we're still like being with each other. But it's changed a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And yeah, you know, and sometimes we just, we need to get back to that, though, that fully back to that, you know, where that is all we want. I just want to be with you, you know. And we can say that to the Lord. I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm doing. You know, if I end up with no home and I'm in a shelter, I'm still with you. I just want to be with you.
I sometimes do feel that way. I mean, I sometimes do say, I don't care. What, it's that we can live in one of those tiny homes. But I've never set a shelter.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I said one of those little tiny little, they're like a shed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how little it is. I've said that to Sky. I could do that. I could do that, but I've never set a shelter.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I would want that. I mean, of course, my flesh does not want that. You know what I mean? I want all the comforts of my home. But I would hope, if it came to that, that I would be able to say, Lord, you know, you're all I need. Because Paul was there. You know, he was abased. He had nothing. You know, there were times where he had nothing. He was beaten, he was in prison, yet he was, you know, he was content. But he learned it. He learned it. So if he did, we can learn it too. So and it reminded me of Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23. You know, it's just a very comforting psalm. So I'm going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And, you know, we have such a good God, don't we? He's just, he's takes such good care of us. And just looking at the things in this psalm, the things that he does for us, his sheep, it's just, it's enough.
Yeah, and look how he gave me a written answer to a cry the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a written answer.
I know. I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I know. He did, so individual and so so personal. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about it. He does, you know, such a personal thing that could only mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, when you think about it, he's got this whole universe that he takes care of. And he does one little special thing for you. And it means the world.
Yep. Yeah. And it didn't even say Cindy. It said Cynthia.
Yeah. If it would have said Cindy, it would have been for me.
Exactly.
So, all right. Okay, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's one that we, you know, we repeat often. We all know that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we have to remember that, you know, we can't do these things in our flesh. We can't be content in our flesh. We can't be, you know, do the things in the verses 1 through 9. You know, we can't be anxious for nothing. We can't think on those things. We can't do anything without the Lord. It really is Him that strengthens us, and only Him that strengthens us. that word strengthen is the same word that's used in 1 Timothy 1:12 that says, "And I thank I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That word enabled is the same word as strengtheneth. And I thought that was interesting. So, you know, it really is him that enables us, that strengthens us to do anything and enables us to do anything. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that's true. How often do you feel like that? When you're at your weakest, he just comes and strengthens you. And it really is when we're weak, then we're strong. We're strong in him. And maybe because we're trying to be strong in our own strength. In Ephesians 3:16 it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So, you know, he strengthens us in our spirit, by his spirit, in our spirit, in the inner man. And then a couple other verses that I'm sure you've heard, but they're my favorites. And so Isaiah 40:29-31, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And I like that, you know, you have no might, but he increases your strength.
Isaiah 49:31.
It's 40:29-31.
40:29-31. I was way off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." No. "Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Sorry. Those verses are just, they're just so good. You know? They're just, when I think of the power of our God, and that's available to me.
Yeah, and sometimes we use them as cliches.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, when you're in pain and you're suffering and you need the word, the words are come out not as a cliche.
Right.
You know, like when you're serious, when you're really serious and you need the power of the Lord, and you read a scripture that you've recited a billion times,
yeah,
but you're serious, you know, you're really like hurting or you really need the Lord, that is so different.
Yeah.
The scripture just is, it's different. You could have read it so many times.
Right. Because,
but, yeah. I mean, I don't mean it to be like my long times of fear not. I don't mean it to be a cliche.
Right.
But I'm sure everybody who walks by who knows that scripture, they may be seeing it as a cliche.
Right.
But then the people who've never heard of it, it might really hit them, you know.
Yeah.
But, oh, I didn't know that the Bible said that.
Yeah. Because it's powerful. It's the Word of God, and it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's truth. And so, yeah, it does affect us. You know, you think anybody who reads the word, it's going to affect. You know, his word doesn't come back void. So.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on. Philippians verse 14-19. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, excuse me, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, and he, when he says, you did communicate, you've done well, you've communicated with my affliction. That word communicate means to share in, to co-participate in, to be a partaker of. So, they were, the Philippian church was participating and partaking of his affliction in, in reaching out to him and helping him. And they helped him at other times. It said, like it said in that verse, when he was in Thessalonica, the Philippian church also sent to him another time. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read this in the NLT because I just like how it goes in the NLT. But it says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters," and he's talking to the Corinthians, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Now the churches in Macedonia would have been, that's the northern part of Greece, so it would have been Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He said, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And I just, that church in Philippi is just so giving. They were being tested with many troubles. They were very poor. But they wanted, their own generosity. I mean, they wanted to give. They wanted to help. And not only what they could afford, but far more. Whatever they could do. That's truly somebody who has the Lord, because only the Lord really, can give like that. So they helped him. It seems like there were several times that they helped him. Every time Paul was in need, this church kind of rose up and gave to him and gave to the things that he needed. And in 18, he says, I have all, I abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the gift, So Epaphroditus had brought him the gift from them, and so of course he's good now, and he has everything. So I just think it's just neat how the body of Christ will rise up to help and to give, And giving is a gift. That's something too. I don't know that it comes naturally to us. Maybe it does to some people. I don't know, but. But when you can really care for somebody more than your own needs, when you can sacrifice what you want to give to somebody else, and there's no joy like it, it's something that God puts in you and that God blesses you. So Galatians 6:10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So, you know, that is something we've, you know, if we don't, like, you know, Paul talked about before about being a cheerful giver, you know. And so if we don't feel like that, if we don't, you know, have that in our heart, you know, ask for it. Ask the Lord to give you that.
Mm-hmm.
So, verse 17 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that it may abound to your account. So fruit to your account. You know, Paul was saying, you know, he desires, you know, that fruit would be to their account, that you know we're going to receive rewards when we get to heaven. Our works, what we do in this life, is going to be tried by fire, and what burns, the wood, hay, and stubble, the works of our flesh, that's going to be burned up. But that which remains, we're going to be rewarded for. Which, you know, it's kind of a weird thought, you know, that we would get to heaven and that we would be rewarded for things. But the Bible says we will. And then Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, you know, those rewards and treasure, you know, laying those up in heaven and not here. And then he also says that it's a sweet smell, a sweet sacrifice. Let me get back to my page here.
18.
Yeah. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So in Exodus 29:18, it says, thou shalt burn the whole, talking about the sacrifices, thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So when you think about that, he's talking about, you know, the sacrifice like they did in the Old Testament. And then that would be a sweet smell unto God. Well, you know, when we do things in the Lord, that's a sweet aroma. That's a sweet smell unto God and to other people. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto the death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. So yeah, we are that sweet savor. And you know, I mean, I want to be a sweet savor to the Lord. I want my life to... you know, to be that sweet smell, you know, in the things that I do. So, and then he says that he supplies all our needs, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's true, and we've learned that over the years, you know, that God supplies all your needs, and he supplies them according to his riches, not our riches. You know, his riches are everything, and so he supplies according to what he has. He doesn't supply according to what we have, you know, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I just lost my train of thought. I have a note here that I'm I can't think of what it is now because I lost my train. So sorry about that.
Well, I can tell you, Angie loved this chapter because every single line is underlined.
Oh, is that your mom's Bible?
She didn't have a favorite verse because the whole chapter is underlined.
Yeah, I know. Those are... But it, it is. There's so much good stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So much good stuff in it. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory." And you know, so just thinking about, you know, Him supplying our needs and you know, us being in want or in need. You know, Paul had been hungry. I mean, he had been hungry. He had been full, just like we are. Like we said, there's times of leanness and there's times of plenty. There's times of trials and there's times of not trials. Victory. You know, there's seasons. But our light affliction, which is for a moment, whatever we're going through is for a moment, but it worketh for us to far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So whatever the Lord is doing in that, He's working it, you know, always working it for us, for our good. All things work together for good to those who love God. So we can always count on that. Philippians 4:20-23 says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And so this is just his, you know, his sign off to them. Always giving glory to the Lord. Always giving glory to God. You know, be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, so be it. Revelation 4:9-11 says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Always all glory to God. And I like how he says, you know, all the saints salute you. You know, all the believers here salute you. Everybody says hi, basically, is what he's saying. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And, you know, and so you think about those who are being converted. You know, those that are in Caesar's house. You know, those who live there, who work there, who are there, who are around Paul. They're all being converted little by little. And so many are believers now because Paul is in prison, you know, and that wouldn't be happening if Paul wasn't in prison. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then he ends again, you know, he begins with grace, you know, he's always, you know, grace and peace be with you. And he ends the same way, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, amen is so be it. You know, that's a firm, that's the truth. That's what it is. So. And that ends the letter to the Philippians. And it's just a sweet, you know, such a sweet personal love letter, you know, of people that he loved, of a little church that he started and it's growing, you know, and they're growing more and more in the Lord and being used of the Lord and being used in Paul's life. So it's kind of
Philippa
cool.
Joy.
What?
Philippa Joy.
Philippa Joy, yeah. Yeah. It is.
I don't know where I heard that. I think maybe Bob and Sue. I can't remember. I just know that I heard it.
But it does sound familiar. It does sound kind of familiar, yeah. So.
That ends for Philippians.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's always good to go back and study more, you know. Uh-huh. There's always more, so much more. But, okay, so let's pray.
Very good study.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you again, Lord, just for this book, for showing us who you are, Lord, for strengthening us, for being with us, for supplying our needs, Lord, all that you do for us, all that you are for us, Lord, so much more than we deserve. But we thank you, and we pray that you continue to work in us, growing us, drawing us closer to you each day. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.